Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. I want to talk a little bit about goals and dreams. You have some dreams? Have they died already? We're going to talk about that.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan, how you doing?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great.
Well, that is good. You know, we're talking about a little bit to start off with. Of course, you know, you can call and ask us about anything. But we're talking a little bit today about reaching goals and living your dreams.
That's a great thing.
And one of the things that a lot of people do, they want their dreams to come true. But they've never sat down and written out a strategy or a plan how to do that. And so I want to encourage people to start with a plan. There's so many things. You know, Ephesians 3:20 tells us that we will, well, here, I'll just, I should have it memorized. I almost have it memorized, but I'll read it to everybody because it's just a great verse. And here's what it says. Ephesians 3:20. Now listen to this. Now glory be to God. By His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. I mean, we can't even ask or hope for all the things that He could accomplish in our lives. And so one of the things that He uses is if we can at least anticipate great things, expect great things, plan for great things, then God can do great things in our life beyond anything we could ever even dream or hope.
You know, but I think along with that, Steve, in the heart of God is that He would use us in those dreams according to our shape or our giftedness or our capabilities.
Right.
And He tells us in the parable of the talents that we're to figure out how to multiply who and what we are and to effectively serve Him. So I think we need to think in terms of dreams and hopes and aspirations as they tie into who and what we are as God made us. Now, I think a lot of people have no clue what God's design is for them.
Right.
You know, as a teacher, as a counselor, I sense that this is how God has shaped me. And so I am seeking then to set all my goals, dreams, aspirations around that.
Right.
Which is what I think, and that's what you do, don't you think, Steve?
Absolutely. I think you set out, you have an idea of what God wants you to do, and you surround yourself with things that support that. But in addition to that, you always are open to the surprise of whatever God might bring along to you. But God is, you know, here's the thing. We all have secret powers, and many times we don't acknowledge that. We have supernatural secret powers.
Mm-hmm.
They're called spiritual gifts.
Absolutely.
And if we don't acknowledge them and don't discover what they are, a lot of people don't know that they have real life supernatural spiritual gifts. I have a supernatural spiritual gift called hospitality. I've had three people tell me I have the spiritual gift of hospitality. If you can imagine that.
No, I can't imagine
I'm
that.
A man, and I have the gift of hospitality.
That's okay. You're warm and engaging and inviting, and you make people feel at home.
I love to have people in my home.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, I'm jumping in. You have the gift of hospitality?
See?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jill. See?
There's a doubter.
Yeah, she's a doubter. But anyway, everybody has some supernatural gifts. And that's what God uses to do supernatural things.
And He tells us He's going to ask us how we did with that.
Yeah.
The parable of the talents, He says, what did you do with what I gave you? How did you utilize them? Right. What did you do with them?
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello,
okay.
Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Slash my name.
I come here to find healing from a life of abuse.
When I was 13, I was raped by two men.
What I'm going to tell you, I haven't really told anybody in maybe 10 years.
Before coming to this weekend, my emotional pain had held me captive.
I found this weekend to be very healing with my group.
The New Life Weekend is coming soon to a city near you. You'll spend the weekend with best-selling author and speaker Steve Arterburn, and New Life's group counselors will lead sessions on issues like grief, anger, depression, abuse, weight loss, and marital problems. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlifeweekend.com. Become the miracle at the next New Life Weekend, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I've been suffering for 26 years. And it's time to heal.
For the first time in 2 years, I am free.
You saved a life. Literally, you saved my life.
This weekend has been illuminating.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with two fine, fabulous, fun-filled people.
That's a lot of F's in a row.
That is.
And Dr. Jill, you are, I wish people, where is the camera? We should show people how great you look today.
Thank you.
Mylon, you look so average today.
You know, people tell me I have a great face for radio.
Yes, you do. Hey, let's talk to Sharon. She's calling from Canton, Georgia, listens to WNIV. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for having me on your show. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling us.
Well, thank you also because a few months ago I called you all and you helped me with a friendship that I had. And Dr. Jill Hubbard said that I didn't know what it was like to be her. And I still think of that a lot today. I was being really judgmental of her. And you
were,
all really
you
helped
were being
me.
Judgmental of Dr. Jill or the friend?
The friend. Well, I wanted to ask you a question about weight in marriage.
Okay.
I've been married for almost 13 years, and almost all of those 13 years I've been overweight. It sort of started to creep up, and then now I'm like 60 pounds overweight, and I've really struggled with losing this mm-hmm. weight. And I've done a lot of spiritual searching about it, and I really... This is very hard for me to talk about because it's such a big deal for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. And I think I use my weight to not be as attractive to my husband so that he doesn't want to have sex with me. It's terrible. I know it sounds so terrible.
But isn't it interesting that when you talk about this terrible thing, you laugh?
It's because it's almost, I don't know, I'm embarrassed. I guess I'm just really embarrassed that I did this.
Well, and you're laughing, but it's almost like I can hear the tears behind the laughter.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. I'm embarrassed, and I wish I didn't feel this way because the truth is I love my husband. I really do. But I don't know why I cannot budge this weight off. It's like totally self-sabotage.
Sharon,
I totally struggle.
Let's go with what you said, though. What is it about having sex with your husband or being intimate with your husband that's uncomfortable, that causes you to want to do something so drastic?
I think I got married fairly young. I was 21, and I know that he is not what is considered to be a soulmate or something like that. I don't even know if that really is a true existence of a soulmate, but we are very different
highly,
in many fundamental ways.
It's a highly overrated phrase
because
I know a lot of people that are very connected, but they wouldn't describe what most people think.
Well, some people think soulmate is like a merger experience, and that isn't always a healthy thing.
Exactly.
Well, and I honestly don't really want someone to be that close to me that way. I mean, there are many things about my husband that is very different from me, but I really love and value and appreciate. So I don't need someone to compliment me so completely that I can't live without them kind of thing. That just seems sort of unhealthy, I suppose. But I think there are some things about him that I sort of wish he didn't behave certain ways and say certain things. And I don't know, I sort of reject him in some ways, some parts of him that I don't like. And I also think that I sort of punish him a little bit.
Okay, by withdrawing from him?
Yeah, and I know he's not happy that I weigh what I weigh right now. And as a matter of fact, last week I mentioned to him, I think I might join Weight Watchers. I've just sort of had it with the struggle. And he said, oh, I would love to see a svelte you again. He said, think of all the great sex we could have. And I just thought, oh, my God.
Okay, you know, Jill is onto something here, because I see two things here. One, you're protecting yourself from intimate sex and intimacy with weight. Also, you're doing what a lot of women do to protect themselves from intimacy and intimate sex. You're comparing him to an ideal, comparing him to other men, and as long as you're involved in that comparison, you reject him and justify not having the sex. So I think you really got to deal with this sexual issue here that Jill's onto.
I think, yes, deal with the weight issues, but at the core of that are the sexual issues. The fear of intimacy, the fear of closeness. Because even as you were talking about the soulmate issue, okay, that's a good discussion, and I agree with you, but I think for you it goes a little more. I think it's really about that fear of having somebody too close.
And, you know, I've heard Mylan say, maybe it was even just to me, Mylan, when you work out the intimacy issues, the vulnerability and the connection issues, the sex kind of takes care of itself in most cases. Isn't that right?
I absolutely believe that, and my wife and I teach that concept. Sharon, is it also frightening for you to share your emotions?
Yes, it is,
okay.
Actually.
So I've
done a lot of research on this because, again, this has been years of struggle for me, and I'm not... I don't want to tout looks or anything, but I'm a fairly attractive woman, and but I know that I diminished that by becoming overweight, so I've really struggled with
it. Well, but I think it's important here to acknowledge that there's two things that you're hiding from. One is you're trying to keep your husband away from you, and so you're hiding from him here, but you're also hiding from the experience of having to be emotionally vulnerable with your own emotions.
Would you be able to tell me why without really knowing everything?
Yes, I can. Lot of us, and I'll just take a stab in the dark here, and let me ask you this. When you were growing up, did anybody ever ask you, when you were feeling distressed, distraught, upset, agitated, irritated, did anybody ever ask you the question, what's going on inside you, what hurts, what's painful, and then give you an opportunity to cry and feel a sense of relief and comfort because somebody bigger than you wrapped their arms around you? Did anybody ever do that for you?
No way.
Then why do we expect then that we're going to be able to access our emotions and feelings and be able to share that level of emotional intimacy in a marriage when we never have had the experience to know how to do that?
Well, I can tell you that my father was physically and verbally abusive
sure.
to me and all of my
sure.
siblings. I'm one of five children, and
oh,
we've all struggled
so
with that. And I can tell you that also my the only significant male relationship that I have had where it's been semi-normal is with my husband. So I've had to sort of learn how to be, relate to an adult man.
Nicely put.
Kind of on my own.
Nicely
you know?
Put. That's very well stated. How do I learn to relate to an adult man on an emotional level? And you know what? You're still in the process of learning that. And I think that your call here is opening up a new avenue. It's not just being afraid of your husband or not liking some of his things, but it's the fear of emotional vulnerability on your part.
Mm-hmm. The fear of yourself, Sharon, and it's maybe you are entering a season where it's time to really get to know yourself better and that you're hiding from all kinds of people, but mainly from yourself.
Well, am I afraid of myself, though?
What was that?
Why am I hiding from myself?
Well, you're hiding from your vulnerability.
I think there could be a fear of losing control or losing yourself.
Well, it's also a lack of experience. I've never done this before.
Right.
So something's for me to all of a sudden have the deep, intimate questions asked of me that, and for me to be vulnerable and if you will, naked and unashamed, you know, in front of my spouse, that's scary. So why? We've never done it before. It's frightening to do things we've never done. We don't like change, and it's something I've never tried.
Mm-hmm. So, Sharon, it would be really great if you could get in with a good therapist and start exploring some of these issues.
So even as a couple, Jill, they could
do it
together.
Yeah, they could do it as a couple. True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I will tell you, a few years ago, 4 years ago, I worked at a bookstore where a man started coming on to me, and I didn't realize that I was as unhappy or felt as distant from my husband as I was, because I really didn't mind this man's attention, and it sort of, we began flirting, and it sort of grew and grew and grew, and I really felt like I was in love with this man. And right now, looking back, I know that it was totally not normal and wasn't healthy, and it actually became very desperate and bad on his part.
Let me wrap this up by just saying that I think your efforts to lose weight will always be futile.
Until
you get in and do some work with what's fueling the fear and resolving those things from your childhood, then you will be free to lose the weight. Now, this is not true for everybody. Some people just need to go on a diet and eat differently. But I really believe, from what you've said here, and I think we're all nodding, there are dynamics that are going to keep you heavy. And I want to give you just the worst analogy, probably, but this, I just can't get it out of my head. Madeline and I went out to Knott's Berry Farm, and there is a new roller coaster there that goes 80 miles an hour in 4 seconds, straight up and then straight down. And we had never done anything like this before. And not only did we end up on that roller coaster, we ended up in the first row of the first car, scared to death. But here's what we knew. Other people had done it before, had survived, and seemed to be relatively happy when it was over with. And you, if you get into this position with your husband where you are all his, all accepting of him, loving him, allowing him to love you, you let yourself go, you get yourself healthy, and you rise to the top and you go down fast, free. It will be scary for you. But
you will
experience life as you've never known it before, a life that you'll have a smile on your face, you'll have new joy, energy, and you'll be ready to take on the next challenge in your life. It really does all begin with working out some of those things that have kept you off of the thrill ride of your life. You can do this. You have to make a decision. And the good news is you already started making a healthy decision when you said to your husband, I think I might go to Weight Watchers. See, that's different than I think I might start a new diet today, because Weight Watchers, you're connected more to people. Others are involved. So stay on the track. Now I'm going to send you two things. I'm going to send you the book, Lose It for Life. I'm going to hope that you'll go to our workshop in your area, because that will help you resolve some of these issues. We've seen people dramatically healed from some of their past issues at these workshops, these intensives. And then I'm going to send you Every Woman's Battle, because I think that's going to reconnect you back to your husband.
Okay? Thank you.
Thanks for calling us, Sharon.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you want to...
What a great
Good
call.
Good for her for calling.
Well, it really is. It's so difficult to see ourselves and the struggle, and you go for years and you feel foolish, but, you know, maybe there was a season when it wasn't time to look at all this for her. Mm-hmm. And now, for whatever reason...
You're right. It's so scary to be vulnerable, but when you are, you really gain strength and power over your life.
Yeah. She can do it. Well, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you'd like a copy of Lose It for Life, and also free, we have 15 keys to reaching your goals. And, Myla, we were talking about goals when I first started the program, and I want to read you a quote by Hudson Taylor. He says, all of God's greats have been weak people who did great exploits for God because they reckoned on His being faithful. Now, that is such a key ingredient to finding your dreams. God will be faithful. Even in Sharon's case, God will be faithful to you to walk through this with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can rest in Him and fall back in His arms as you go through this. He will be with you. He will be faithful.
And when Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a problem that was even sent to him by God, the Bible says that he said, even with this weakness or this disability or this problem that I have, I can do all things through Christ, who is my sufficiency and my strength, and I can accomplish these things because God will be the one. And then when it happens, I will know who was responsible. It wasn't me.
Right, right.
God gets the glory. It's mm-hmm. not just by my devices and my great skills and talents and abilities. He works with us. He equips us, gives us skills, gifts. Then He also does the amazing supernatural work of causing the effectiveness to occur.
All right. Thank you, Mylon. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to give you some help. If you can support this ministry, we'll send you every man's Bible. You'll love this Bible if you're a man. We'll be back after this.
I looked at him. I said, what is wrong with you? You look like a monster. He said, I'm addicted to pornography.
Every day, thousands of women discover their husband is struggling with sexual integrity. Pornography, affairs, lust.
After I found the pornography on the internet, I said, you either go get help or I have to leave this household. He said, I don't need this.
There is hope. New Life's Every Man's Battle workshop can help.
Every Man's Battle, I fought it the whole week with my wife when she gave me the ultimatum of going or not. Within 2 hours, you could have opened a book and showed me where my life has been ever since I was a little boy.
Call us today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and find out how your husband could be the man you've always dreamed of.
He called me and he said, this may have saved my life.
Every Man's Battle was a life-changing experience for me and a marriage-saving experience for me.
Register now to reserve a place at the next Every Man's Battle workshop. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Arterburn at New Life. Ever wonder if you're going to be happy again? Well, maybe the reason you're struggling is because there's an alcohol or drug addiction that you need to deal with. And if so, we want you to come to the New Life Recovery Center, where we will provide you with counseling, group, individual, family, and other forms of treatment to get this problem taken care of. Now, we love providing a Christ-centered, safe, structured place where you can recover or someone that you love can recover. So call us right now and ask about New Life's Recovery Center, where we measure success by how many people experience freedom and that amazing word, happiness. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com to find out more about New Life's Recovery Center. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich and your phone calls. Let's go to Teresa. She's calling from Erlanger, Kentucky. Did I pronounce that correctly, Teresa? Erlanger?
Erlanger, yes.
Erlanger. Is it Erlanger or Erlanger?
Erlanger. Any way you want to say it, everybody says it different.
Really? Okay. I prefer Erlanger. Anyway, okay. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It's just been a long day, but listen to WAKW every day.
Great. We're glad that you do. A lot of folks listen to that station. And how could we help you today?
Well, my question is, I've been with my husband 17 years, and 4 weeks ago he walked out and said he couldn't take it no more. I have been diagnosed with manic depressant bipolar,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to leave him alone because he just don't want to talk to me or even look at me. I want to know if I just leave him alone, I'm getting help and everything. If he mm-hmm. could just, if you think that there's a chance in our marriage, even with me having this.
You mean do people who are bipolar stay married?
Well, yeah. I'm going through a lot of counseling right now. And
good. And you're getting on the proper medication that you need?
Right. They okay. gave me some more medication, and
okay.
my friend says she's doing fine, but I just
And you're
still
committed
can't get
to him. Taking that?
Yes. I take it every day.
Okay.
Daily, and I go to counseling and
good.
Trying to get everything under control, but it just seems like he don't believe that I have a disease that I should just be okay.
Right. You know, and it may be a hard thing for him to accept and to really believe that things are going to change, because when people are bipolar, their family really feels the effects. And sometimes it's hard for the person who has the disorder to really be aware of how impactful it is on people around them and how dramatic it is. And so he's lived with this for a long time. It's probably going to take him some time to kind of observe you, maybe even from afar, and see, wow, okay, there is a marked difference here.
And he's always been my backbone, and now it's just so hard around the holidays and everything.
Oh, of course it is. And so, Teresa, you know, one thing you might want to say to him is that you really are committed to keeping the marriage together, and that you know, that you understand if he needs some time, and you want him to see, not just to listen to your words, but to really watch and see the changes that you are making, and let him know what you're willing to do, and
right.
then maybe you're going to have to ask him what he's willing to do.
Well, I've asked him about counseling, you know, a marriage counselor, and he's like, right now I just want to be left alone. I don't think we can survive and go on. He said, go on like I'm not even there no more.
Mm. Teresa, did from your perspective, does your husband have any legitimacy to his complaints?
Well, part of my, the disease is I've had a lot of outbursts of anger. And
okay.
One of my troubles is I'm panic attacks when I get keeping a job.
Mm-hmm.
I get so panicked that I have to leave and go home. That's
right.
My safe place is my home.
Right.
And
so you have some agoraphobia too?
Right.
Okay. But so you're saying to me, the answer to your question then is yes. Your husband, he said, you told us he walked out and said, I can't do this anymore. Now,
right.
Is there some legitimacy? And you're telling me, yes, mm-hmm. there is some legitimacy. And one of the places you can start is by sharing with him in perhaps a letter or giving him a little space and time, but telling him that you can respect how valid some of his feelings are.
Okay.
And that you validate his feelings.
And the way to say that isn't, I validate you, but to say, mm-hmm. I want you to know I really understand how you felt, or I really get it, how hard this has been for you, or however you'd say it that way.
Yeah.
That you can see your own behavior.
That
you
would
know,
begin
for
to
you
see
to
it and
behavior.
Own it
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
say, you know, I could see how so many of these things would be hard. And here's some things that I see that I can imagine would be very hard for you.
Right. I mean, we have two daughters together, and it's just, I know I haven't been, you know, my eyes didn't really open up until after he walked out the door, and I realized.
Well, he got your attention, didn't he?
Yeah. But he said, I've tried for 17 years, and I'm just tired, so.
Mm. Well, give him a little room, give him a little space, and.
But he does say that, it's in God's hands. He said, mm-hmm. around the holidays right now, he said, if I feel something for you, I'll come back. And if I don't, we'll just have to separate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Teresa, that's what he's saying now. But again, he may need some time. You do what you need to do to get yourself better. You own your part. You know, this is what he's saying now. He's tired now. But it doesn't sound like it's completely finished yet.
Let me send you a couple of books. One, Mood Swings, I wrote with Paul Meyer, and also Fear Less for Life. I think it'll help you with the agoraphobia. And anybody else interested in those, you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. I'll ask you to pray for Teresa. Mm. And what a tough
yeah.
thing. And
I'm
so many,
sorry for your pain.
You know, so many times people in relationships, they want to blame you and. And yes, it's important to take responsibility for doing what you can, but it doesn't help. And I hope that there'll be very little blaming here and both of you come together trying to work out this problem.
And, you know, Teresa asked the question. She said, is there hope?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
course.
Yes, yes, there can be. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In God, there is hope. And the most positive thing her husband said was, it's in God's hands.
Right.
The other day, my son went into the most hideous pornographic site that I could imagine.
I have a 13-year-old son, and I saw that he was on porn sites. I don't have any filters or anything like that.
What do these callers have in common? If they had had New Life's SafeEyes software filter, they might not be calling us. This is Steve Arterburn, and the SafeEyes filter blocks harmful websites and creates logs of every website visited and every instant message chat. You can set the times of day that the internet may be used and even set it up to send you an email or text message every time someone visits an inappropriate website. SafeEyes is both PC and Mac compatible. Now, if you're a parent, please make sure to protect your kids from the dangers on the internet. If you're looking for a way to be accountable to your spouse for your purity, the SafeEyes filter will show you're serious. Download the filter today at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Jill Hubbard. Years ago, before ever being on the radio, I was a listener just like you, wondering, do the boys really know what they're talking about? But I realized this ministry is much bigger than that. It's really a way of offering comfort and hope so that people's lives can be more functional, more intimate, and more connected. As just one person, sometimes it's hard to feel like we can make a difference in helping ourselves and others. But one of the best ways I've found is by joining Club New Life. Club New Life is our monthly giving program. As a part of Club New Life, it's not just you giving to New Life, but it's New Life giving back to you as well. We start by sending you a Life Recovery Bible, and then every month you'll receive books, CDs, and other great stuff. I've signed up many of my family members, so now I'm asking you to become part of our New Life family. It's as easy as calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, the most famous female in Christian
in this studio.
In this studio today. And Mylon Yurkovich, a wonderful, wise counselor that we all love. And your phone calls. Let's go over here to Laura. She's calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. She listens to WAVA. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome.
How is everyone?
Good, thank you.
I cannot speak for everyone, but most of us are doing pretty well.
Well, good. I'm a little nervous, so you'll have to excuse me.
Not a problem.
We will.
I have an 18-year-old son who basically refuses to grow up, and I need some pointers on to how to help him.
Okay. Mm.
How does he refuse to grow up, Laura?
Well, he's been in therapy on and off since he was about 13.
Okay.
And he was on Concerta and Celexa and Respidol for several years. He wasn't doing good in high school, so we ended up taking him out and putting him into Job Corps, mm-hmm. where he was doing all right. You know, he had some behavioral problems, but he was doing all right. He turned 18. He stopped all his meds, joined the Army, got kicked out of the Army.
Mm.
While he was in there, he was telling us he was doing fine when we spoke with him and whatnot. We got a call just this past Friday. Hey, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be on the bus on Saturday. Pick me up. I got kicked out.
Why did they kick him out?
Because of behavioral problems. He refused to listen. He refused to take responsibility for his actions. He would be touching all the other guys, even though they tell him not to, rolling his eyes at the drill sergeants and whatnot.
Probably not going to work out as a military career there.
And then last night, he started getting phone calls from this girl, and she was calling like every hour. And I had questioned him, who is she? Because I didn't know who she was. And he's like, just stay out of my business. I says, no, Justin, you're in my house, and it is my business. And he said, no, it's my business, and stay out of it. And I told him, take your business outside then. and he ended up leaving, and I feel awful. I haven't seen him since. I'm not sure where he is. It was real cold last night, so I don't know if he was warm, and I don't know how to make him grow up.
Well, I tell you, I think him having spent whatever time he spent in the military, he probably at least learned to get himself in out of the cold.
I hope so.
And if not, big, big problems. But here's the thing. You are taking the weight of a full-blown adult at 18. You're taking the weight of his life, his relationships, his future on you, and not putting it back on him. And you're taking it on very much like maybe a mother would do for a sixth grader who was having some difficulty, but he's at a much different stage. And what we'd want to help you do is to put all of the stuff you're feeling onto him, where it would become his chore, his responsibility, not yours.
Yeah, Laura, I have a feeling that's how he hooks you back in, by you feeling so guilty and feeling bad and like you've done this horrible thing. I mean, even a 12-year-old could probably figure out a way to survive, even though that would be a horrible thing to, you know, to kick them out. But, you know, at 18, Steve's right. He knows how to survive. And so, you know, I think that you are feeling terribly guilty, and yet you and your husband, it sounds like, have done all kinds of things to help him.
We have tried.
Yeah, well, and he's emotionally very immature. And at 18, not every boy is a man.
Right.
You know?
We even had at one time taken him down to the juvenile detention and got a protective order because he didn't threaten me, but he held scissors close in front of me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, I mean, so we don't tolerate the bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not learning from the correction either.
Laura, is he your biological child?
Yes.
Okay, and is he the only child?
No, I have two daughters who are older. One is married. I just had my second grandbaby.
Okay, so he's the baby of the family.
Yes.
It's
and
hard to let go of the baby.
Did he get any preferential treatment? Be honest with me here, in that he was a boy and he was maybe special, or was there anything like that going on?
I don't think he got preferential treatment. I think he got a little added attention because of the attitude problems when he was young and, mm-hmm. you know, taking him back and forth to the doctors and whatnot. So we tended to, you know,
now,
listen to him a little more.
Now, why did you take him to therapy when he was 13? What was he doing at 13?
Violent behavior.
Okay, and when did this begin?
I guess since school age, you know, he never got along with other kids very well.
Did he have
always
trouble?
Always had a problem with invading their spot.
Did he have trouble learning?
Yeah, he doesn't have trouble as long as he liked it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I think here's one quick thought. I would try to maintain some of the boundaries. I don't know that the phone call is necessarily needing to know all the details about the phone call. Who was on the phone call is a boundary that would cause a person to need to leave the house if you're not going to tell me, and this is my house kind of a thing. But I do think boundaries and asking him to be responsible, and if he doesn't do that, your original question was, how do I help him grow up? He has to have a full-time job, and he needs to be moving out and getting his own place to live very soon.
Yeah, that's why we sent him to Job Corps.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know?
But see, you're going to have to go right back to the way you were headed before, even though he got kicked out of the Army. Even more so now, or you'll end up with a dependent son,
yeah.
And you'll be calling us, and he'll be there when he's 30 years old. And I know that's very, very tough. But right now, you're going to set the pattern for the next few years. If you if you give in and you weaken on your stance, then you could make him...
You enable him then, and you don't make him be independent. You get the exact opposite of what you're wanting. So if you think about that, every time you want to give in and kind of soften, you're actually going to get the very thing you don't want.
Okay, I'm so glad you called, and you know, let me send you a copy of Boundaries. I think that's a book that would help you there, and I'll ask folks to pray for you in a very, very difficult situation. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need a resource, we need your help. You can find out about all of the things that we do to help transform lives, such as Every Man's Battle, Every Heart Restored, Lose It for Life, Christian Counseling, the Calvary Center, all of that you can find out about on our website, newlife.com, or by going and calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We do this, and we're able to do this because people support this ministry. And if you support our ministry, we will send you a copy of Every Man's Bible, a great Bible for you as a man, or a great gift for any man. It really does seem to be bringing men back to the Bible and helping them study it in a way maybe they've never done before. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about that. All right, let's go back to our phones, and let's talk to Diana. Hi, Diana. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're glad you're here.
I really enjoy your show. I was on speakerphone. I had to put it back on the regular phone, so I didn't know if you could hear me or not. I really enjoy your show. I especially enjoy when Steve and John and Henry are together.
Well, thank you.
So my question is, how do you know when you have found a healthy church?
All right, well, tell us why you're asking.
Well, I've had church issues for a number of years, and I'm growing less and less fond of church all the time. I love the Lord. I have my quiet time and prayer time every day, and I really am constantly seeking a better relationship with God, but I just have a problem with churches. I went to a church at one time when I was going when I had gone through a divorce, and that church, it was wonderful. It they loved me back to the Lord because I had gotten away from Him during my marriage, and and then I haven't found. I mean, I know we're not supposed to compare, you know, churches and it, because all churches and, yeah, and everybody's different.
Okay, well, I think we can help you. As a start, I would go online to CelebrateRecovery.com, and I would look at the churches that have a Celebrate Recovery group in the church, in a church in your area, because that right there says that that church is open to people having problems and doing something about the problems. That it's not just saying, well, all we got to do is pray more, read the Bible more, and everything's just going to be okay. So that would be a first step. And I've got to go to a break, but when we come back, I'll try to give you a couple more things, or Mylon and Jill will, about how do you know how to find a healthy church. Mylon's been part of a healthy church for a long time, and so we'll hear from him. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back right after this. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Up to 1 million will die from it. Think of it, up to 1 million girls dead. It's time to recognize that anorexia or bulimia is not a diet. It's a disease, and treatment's required. Bermuda Ranch has treated nearly 8,000 women and girls, and they've had great success. A full 95% of patients remain in recovery after discharge, an outcome that appears unmatched by any other treatment center in the world. Now, Bermuda Ranch has added a program to treat anxiety disorders. Their new inpatient program is designed to treat adolescent girls and children suffering from obsessive-compulsive disorder, panic disorder, phobias, and social anxiety. Call New Life today for more information at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're talking to Diana, and we're, Mylon, you were going to tell her some things about a healthy church.
Diana, there's no such thing as a perfect church. Do you have that as an expectation?
Sometimes I think I do.
Okay.
But yet I think, well, you know, if it's me and I come to a church, then I'll mess it up if it is perfect.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
And I just think that we have to recognize that there's a scale of really unhealthy to a point where churches are more healthy. And there's some churches, and I agree with Steve, people that recognize growth and development, mm-hmm. and can embrace people who are struggling, and where people are made to feel comfortable, and this is a process and not an end. Those are the kind of the things I'm looking for, that there's an encouragement that we're in process. And as long as we're headed in a good direction, those are the things I'm looking for. So I'd ask the pastor those kinds of questions. Is this a process, or is this the end?
Well, and I also think, Diana, we are, you know, in different seasons of our lives. And when you mentioned a time when you're going through a divorce and you really felt the church came around you.
Mm-hmm.
So you were very held by that group of people, and it probably felt very good, and you felt very connected. Well, this may be a season of life for you where you're not struggling as much, and so you don't have those same needs. So you aren't, you know, kind of pushing yourself to be involved in the way that you were previously. Consequently, you might not feel that same level of support and comfort as you once did.
Well, I don't feel like I fit in. That's the problem, because my husband and I, you know, we don't have any children, and it seems like that when you don't have any children, you just can't seem to find a group that don't have any kids, and even
mm-hmm.
if you do, they're all busy and they don't have time to really fellowship with you and everything. So I really just kind of feel like I don't belong in a church.
Mm. Well, I tell you, if you can start sometimes in the basement of a church, or the back, going through the back door, joining one of the groups versus just going and experiencing the big congregation and feeling left out, sometimes that is a way to find the right church.
Right. And two, where you're at in your life, life cycle, you know, not having children, then not having grandchildren, that is perhaps a loss or something that you have to deal with, and that, you know, that is a part of a lot of people's lives. And so how can you kind of come alongside those people and, you know, be a part of them even though they have children?
And even learning to accept the non-ideal.
Well, yes,
you know, that
you're not
going to
fit perfectly.
Group that,
right.
And learning to accept the non-ideal.
Let's talk to Lisa from Arcadia, California. KKLA is the station.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm almost out of time, but I wanted to get to your call.
Okay.
So you're going to have to tell us the problem quick.
Okay. The problem is, or dilemma, I had a baby about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And I am struggling to know the will of God as far in my life, as far as going back to work or staying home.
Do you have to go back to work?
It would be a struggle if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But
why do you think you're crying?
You know what? I don't know.
Is this your first baby, Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, you're in that maternal preoccupation period where it's so wonderful to just be you and your baby, and the thought of leaving that newborn is just the worst thing for a newborn.
Yeah, it is. I really want to do what's right in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say if there's any way to sacrifice some material things so that you could stay home with your baby, if there's any way,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, you will never regret that decision.
That's right.
But let me just tell you, Lisa, you know, it's a tension that you are going to feel whether you stay home or you work in terms of, am I giving enough to my baby? Because even moms that stay home sometimes get themselves busy and involved in things and aren't always with their children. And so it's a constant tension that mothers are looking at.
Okay.
And so just know that that's part of mothering, is that you feel that tension. And look at all of your options and really weigh them out and know there is no perfect option.
Okay?
And you're going to feel that tension. That's part of being a mom.
Okay,
talk to other moms, too.
But my kids tell us over and over and over again they loved having their mom at home, and then when for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And then when the kids were in school, that's when Kay went back to school and developed a whole professional career as a therapist. So, you know, to begin trying to think in terms of phases of life, and children are a phase within a marriage, and to think in terms of phases and stages and to break things up that way. It's a great investment to build into your child.
Okay.
Okay.
I heard that tender heart. And I hope that you'll make a good decision.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless you there.
Thank you.
We need more mothers who really do see a child as the number one priority. And that causes, not only do you have the quagmire of I'm not spending enough time, but, well, I don't have as many material things now because I did give up a career.
Yeah, and as well as what it does to the career, as you mentioned.
Right. Okay, well, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. And if you don't need some help, call us anyway. We'd love to talk to you about somebody else in your life that needs help. Or we can refer you to a great resource, whether it's Christian counseling, a book, or one of our CDs. We really want to help you, and we've got people there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, taking your phone call. Support us. Help us out here. We'll send you a copy of Every Man's Bible. A lot of people, you know, get into many complicated things about the faith. And when it comes down to it, in Matthew 7, verse 12, Jesus says, "Do for others what you would like them to do for you." This is a summary of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. What a great thing. How often do we forget just to treat other people the way we want to be treated?
Yeah, we tend to retaliate a lot more than treating them how we'd like to be treated in that particular situation.
Especially when they give us some ammunition.
Absolutely.
Then we take revenge.
But laying aside those weapons and treating them the way I'd like to be treated. Leave room for the vengeance of God, Romans says. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. So never take your own revenge. It's important to know.
Well, if you've got a little revenge, a desire for revenge in your heart, we can help you work through the forgiveness that needs to be there so that you can start each day free and clean. And we want to do that for you. And if you need some help, we want to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number to call. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And there you can find out about the transformational workshops and intensives that we do, such as Lose It for Life and Every Heart Restored and Every Man's Battle, the Calvary Center. All those things are available there. All you have to do is give us a call. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, we are just about out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for supporting us. We really do love you. We pray for you every week. We pray for you here, and we think about you, and we love getting to meet you, and hope that something that we say might provide a bit of insight from God's Word to you and change the way you're dealing with some of the problems so that rather than just repeat those old problems, you're finding victory and making some changes, and your life is changed forever. We love you. Thanks for being here. We will see you here again tomorrow. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Thank you, Milan Yurkovich.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Blessings to you. And if you have a friend, tell them to tune in. Maybe they'll like the program. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.